Well, sea turtles might have something to do with this week's sermon series. We're continuing our Holy Ground sermon series, and we're in week four, and we're talking about wild creatures. And the graphics on the front were given to us by the sermon series, and I was like, what made them, do you think, pick cows as the wild creatures? When I think of wild creatures, I think of, well, let's just say, what do you think of when you think of wild creatures? Mountain lions, bears, wolves, I think of wolves. Moose, good, yeah. Cows, is cows on anyone's list? No, okay. So cows actually, there's this really wonderful intersection with what the scripture is talking about today and their use of cows on this program. So when I first started at the land, I made a lot of mistakes. Not like church starting mistakes, but like really stupid mistakes with the land itself that like have bitten them in the butt to this day. And one of them was they have all of this cheatgrass. Has anybody ever had experience with cheatgrass? Oh, man. So it looks pretty for about 10 days on the prairie. But it's a huge fire risk. And it seeds like crazy. It dries up and it just seeds all over. Well, the reason that we have cheatgrass in Colorado is because of these little critters on the front of the program. Because when cattle first came, they overgrazed. They weren't migrating. They replaced bison. And so the earth kind of responded in all these wonderful ways. So the first time I had someone from CSU come out to the land and talk about all the different plants was so interesting of how the earth responded to overgrazing. So there would be these thistles that came up that would make cows sick. But cheatgrass would come up because if it causes a fire, it clears the whole land and it can give birth to new ecodiversity. And so when I first came out there, I didn't know any of this. So what did I do? I chopped down all the cheatgrass, which what does that do? It seeds it like crazy even more. There were all of these things that I did that were wrong, that one, wasted so much of my time, but then also like created so many more problems. So the next thing, my next example is with prairie dogs. We didn't want to get rid of prairie dogs, but we did need to move them because we came in with plans. And they were in the way. And so we hired a consultant from Boulder who helped us kind of learn this way of moving prairie dogs. And so what you do is you would like close off some of their hole with like wire netting, blah, blah, blah. And it was a ton of work. Well, I was doing all of this work during spring. It was going to be impossible for them to move during spring because what was going on? They were having babies, stupid Stephanie. And Pam came in, our consultant, was like, Stephanie, there's no way they're going to move. Like, you just wasted 40 hours of your time trying to get prairie dogs to move that are like, they're not going to go anywhere. They just had babies. Think about you. Like, if you just had a baby, would you be all up ready to move your whole house? There were all of these examples, learning the hard way, that speak to this scripture today of, hey, girl, why didn't you think of, like, looking around and asking? Like, asking why? Showing up with wonder and curiosity and before you got the weed whacker out and spread this horrible seed all over. And showing up with patience and humility. That each and everything in the ecosystem was doing what it was doing for a reason. And if we know that reason, if we understand the intellect of the ecosystem, that we can work with the ecosystem, that we can be at peace with the earth. Job 12, 7 through 10 reads, "But ask the animals what they think. Let them teach you. Let the birds tell you what's going on. Put your ear to the earth, learn the basics. Listen, the fish in the ocean will tell you their stories. Isn't it clear that they all know and agree that God is sovereign, that he holds all things in his hand? Every living soul, yes. Every breathing creature. And we've talked about Job before, so we sort of understand a little bit of what's going on in this passage, right? By the time we get to chapter 12, Job is just losing it. His friends have been such stinkers. Like, Job's going through all these horrible things, and his friends are trying to help, but they're offering all of these traditional answers of, well, it's your ancestors' fault. They must have done something, or you better figure out what you did, because God is, like, perfect and all-knowing, and if you can figure out what you've done, then you can fix it, and this will all stop. And Job's, like, at a breaking point in chapter 12. And so what he decides to do is utilize the words of his two friends who have come before this to really just turn their argument on their heads. And what he's questioning that I think is so interesting, because we're struggling with this today in so many different ways. We're on this precipice, I think, of this different way of understanding the world, and that's he's questioning their intellect, like what we define as intelligence. He's saying, like, you've built up all these arguments, but they're not, like, playing out in real time. Like, I'm telling you, this is my experience. And what you're saying doesn't make sense. Like, there's this huge gap. And we see this today in our relationship with all of creation. The books, the articles, the podcasts, the specials on TV about animals as being intelligent, as the earth is being a living system. All of a sudden, we're being awakened to this reality that I think was just lost at some point, that we fell into this deep slumber of realizing that we can buy, you know, everything on Amazon, but it doesn't necessarily fit into the environment that we have. We can't just plug and play everything. There's a whole system. Everything's interdependent. It's moving based on one another, which is probably exactly what Job was trying to tell them. Like, look, you have this concrete answer, but it's not working in this situation because all of the different pieces are intertwined and interdependent. It's complicated. It's messy. Job is trying to answer the question that we keep asking ourselves over and over again in different contexts. Why is this happening? When all of his friends are telling him to look further for the answer, what Job is doing for us this morning is pulling us back down to the ground and saying, the answer is all around us. We just have to learn. We have to look. We have to listen in new ways. Pat McCabe, who is just one of my heroes in the entire world, history and future, I've decided, talks about how there are all these different ways of knowing. And intellect is the least reliable, is what she says. Which makes sense, because intellect is like full of ego, right? Intellect serves the purpose of like creating this wall of I am right and you are wrong. But Pat McCabe, from an indigenous perspective, is really talking about how it closes the door. It is meant to, like, provide a stopping place, not a starting place of questioning and wondering, of seeking out other people's experience and trying to put those pieces together in a practice that would look a little bit more like wisdom, a softer process, a process that is inviting and opening and relational, progressive, in the sense of always progressing into a new way of being. One of the things that really struck me at the land after I finally figured out that maybe it would make sense to learn what I was doing before I started doing it was this switch in worldview. This switch between feeling like we were coming in and we needed to do something, and that everyone, everything, needed to abide by that plan, and that we were to force it or manipulate it. To really the stepping back and understanding the world in a whole different way. What if, I remember telling somebody, we looked at this differently with the prairie dogs. Instead of trying to move them out of our way, what if we began to think of them as choosing us? As choosing to come closer to us. What a privilege that would be. What an honor that would be, that all of a sudden these creatures who have been just killed over and over, abused over and over by our species, decided to come closer. At the land when we would worship, the prairie dogs in the background would come up when the music played. And they would jump. And they would bark. And it was the cutest, most wonderful thing I had ever seen. And why would we want to move that further away? Why would we want to move each other further away? Because that's the question for us this morning. We know that it's not just with prairie dogs. We know that it's not just with cheatgrass. It's something we do with each other. We approach each other with assumptions or judgments or fear. We want our own intellect about who we are or who another person is to infuse our relationship to protect us. But what Job is asking us today is more than just listening to the birds, but also listening to one another, being present for each other in our difference, in our diversity, with hope that in all things we can find belonging. Amen.